name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Mark Stidham is going to give us the sermon today. Thank you, Mark.
Today we read about an event that was very early in our Lord's ministry. Jesus was preaching on the Sea of Galilee and the crowds were pressing around him. It says in one of the other Gospels that he was being crushed by the crowd. And so he was on the shore and he asked to enter one of the boats there, and that was the boat of Peter. And in order to avoid being crushed by the crowd, he pushed away from the shore to give some distance between himself and the crowds. And then he taught, says he sat and he taught from the boat. And then at the end of the his teaching, he sent the crowd away and he said to Peter, push out into the deep and let down your nets. And Peter had been fishing all night and he'd caught nothing, as you know. And that time of day was not no longer the time for fishing. So it was probably the middle of the day. So they'd spent the night, which was the time for fishing, they'd spent that time fishing and they'd caught nothing, and now was not the time for fishing. So, as you know, Peter let Jesus know this. He declared that fact. He stated, we've been fishing, there was no fish. But he obeyed, he pushed out, and he caught two boats full of fish, an enormous catch. And then Peter felt very acutely aware of his own sinfulness and the holiness of the Lord, and his response was to ask Jesus to depart from him. So what I thought would be nice for us to do today is to focus actually on some of the very positive aspects of St. Peter's character, specifically the ones that we learn about in this passage. We very often think of the negative aspects of St. Peter's character. They're very openly declared in the Gospel. We all know how he said, Lord, I'll die with you rather than flee from you or deny you, but he deserted him in Gethsemane. He then, of course, denied even knowing Christ when he was asked by a servant girl. He was rebuked by Christ. So when Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And he was the one who had the confession of faith, you are the Son of the living God. And then afterwards Jesus said, and I'm now going up to Jerusalem, I need to be crucified and die. And Peter said to him, far be it from you, Lord, to do that. So he understood in part, but obviously not in full. And Christ turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. The only person in the Gospel other than Satan that was called Satan was the chief apostle. There are lots of other things about St. Peter that we hear about that are negative aspects of his character. He's very hasty in his words. He was not measured in his words. You might recall his babbling speech on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter was the one who encouraged the disciples to return to fishing after the resurrection. It was Peter who was the one, I'm going fishing, who's coming with me? It was Peter was the one who encouraged other apostles to in fact return to their work. And then finally in Acts, we hear about the altercation that he has with St. Paul. It was actually in the book of Acts, it was in St. Paul's writings. The altercation he had with St. Paul because Peter refused to, at one stage, refused to eat with Gentiles. It was like he was returning to his Jewish roots or beliefs. And so he was confronted by St. Paul and said, you're wrong. So there's no shortage of mention of St. Peter's shortfalls in the Gospel and in the New in the rest of the New Testament. But it's unusual that this chief apostle, who is so, for want of a better word, so heavily criticized in the New Testament, is the one that was the first to give the confession of faith. And the one whom Christ looked at and said, "You are Peter," which means rock, "and on this rock I will build my church." He was the one who Jesus said to him, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." He was the one who became the chief apostle. Paul mentioned specifically, "I went down to Jerusalem and saw Peter." I went to Jerusalem, this is after his conversion. "I went to Jerusalem and I saw Peter and the others." He was the chief apostle. On the day of Pentecost, it was Peter that spoke. He was the one who represented them. So Christ, I mean, we'll frequently look at the negative aspects of Peter, but clearly he was the chief apostle. The Lord saw anew in him amazing qualities. Clearly there was much more to Peter than the negative things that I'd mentioned earlier. So there are just three qualities from this one passage, three qualities of Peter that I thought would be nice for us to just dwell on very, very briefly. And I'll just actually mention the three of them very briefly. The first quality that Peter exhibited in this passage was the diligence of his work. He was diligent in his work. His task, his work at that particular point in time was a fisherman. It was his own business. That was his task. That was his God-given duty at that time, up till that point. That is what he did. He was a fisherman. And he was diligent at it. He'd been out working all night. He wasn't at home asleep. He was the owner of the boat. Maybe he had some employees who could have sent them out, but he was the one that was out there, and he was out there all night. He went about his job honestly and diligently. And if you think about it, him being very diligent in his day-to-day work brought him two great blessings that morning. Had he not been diligent in his work, he would have missed these two blessings. But because he was so diligent in his work, his earthly work, he had two blessings. The first blessing was he happened to be there on the shore cleaning his nets because of the work. He happened to be there at the time that Christ needed a boat to push out from shore. And because he'd been diligent in his work and he was where he should have been at that time, he was there. And the Lord said, "Can I get into your boat?" The second great blessing he had was not the miracle of all of the fish, but in actual fact that he could see that it was a miracle. Had he not been fishing all night and Jesus said, "Go out into the deep," and he's like, "Well, it's not the time, but sure," and then, "Oh, actually, there was heaps of fish. If I had known, we would have fished all night." But he had fished all night. His diligence in his work uncovered his eyes to see the miracle. And the same really goes for us. We can't detach our spiritual from our physical or our material. The Lord has given each of us a vocation. Either it is a job, or it's study, or it's looking for work, or it's work in the home. The Lord has given each of us a vocation. And whatever it is that the Lord has assigned for us to do, we must do it diligently. Honestly, very hard, to the best of our abilities. I say this to myself. Not just as mentioned in the Gospels, as men pleasers, not just when we can be seen, but even when we're not seen. Because the Lord sees everything. And in doing that, there will be great blessings. I heard a beautiful story the other day of a young man who has been in Australia for many years from Egypt, and he is very qualified, and as is the case for many people when they first come, their qualifications aren't recognised. It's very hard to get a job in their qualifications, and he was doing a job that was not not of the in the same area as his qualification. He was doing an untrained job. He'd been doing it for many years while seeking work in his occupation. He's an accountant. And in doing this work, he was serving food. He saw one day a lady who was doing her tax return. And he was serving food, and in a kind way, he said, "Oh, I'll be back later. I'm an accountant. If you need any help with your tax return, just let me know. I can help you answer some of the questions." When he came back, the lady said, "Actually, my husband has a business. I'd love for you to meet him." And later that afternoon, he met the husband, and the husband actually owned an accounting firm. I don't know why on earth a woman was doing her own tax return when the husband owns an accounting firm, but that's, you know. The following week, he had a job, an excellent job. All because of the diligence in his work. He was diligent in his work, and the Lord blessed him in his patience and in his honesty. The second quality that St. Peter displayed clearly here in this passage is his obedience, his extraordinary obedience, his immediate obedience. Peter had every right to refuse the Lord's request. He'd been fishing all night. He knew there was nothing there. It was not the time for fishing. You might say, well, what's he got to lose? You know, just push out, catch nothing and come back. It mentions in the passage that they were cleaning their nets. The nets were clean. They had packed up for the night. They'd been out all night. They're ready to go home. Had they gone out again, he'd have to clean the nets all over again. So it wasn't like you could chuck your nets in and then come out. There's nothing, it's no big deal. Peter's a fisherman. Jesus was a carpenter, or son of a carpenter. Peter was a local. Jesus was not from there. Peter knew what he was doing. For all intents and purposes, to an outside eyes, Jesus had no idea. But in remarkable, in his beautiful way, he listened to the Lord and he obeyed. Everything was telling him this is ridiculous, but he said the beautiful words, "Nevertheless, at your word. Lord, we've been fishing all night. Nevertheless, at your word. Lord, there's nothing there. Nevertheless, at your word." If only we could learn to do this. We read a passage in the Bible. It's contrary to what we do, or it's really against everything that we think is going to work, but we would say, "Nevertheless, at your word." Our Father of Confession gives us an instruction, tells us to do something. It sounds ridiculous. It can't possibly work. This is clearly from someone who just cannot understand the situation I'm in, does not understand the issues. "Nevertheless, at your word." The Holy Spirit is prompting us to act in a particular way, but it goes against everything we want to do, but we would say, "Nevertheless, at your word." What blessings will that open for you? Parents will know that if you ask your child to do something and they don't want to do it, they really don't want to do it, and it's going to make them sad to do it, and they can't understand why you're asking them to do it, parents will know that when your child just obediently goes and does it, it melts your heart as a parent. If they were to turn and ask you for anything, you'd do it. You'd do it for them. Because you asked them to do something, they didn't want to do it, and they just obediently went and did it. As parents, we are made in the image of our heavenly parent. If he's given us that feeling, That means he has that feeling. We, in fact, reflect that feeling from him. And look at what he's done for Peter. Peter did not want to, could not see why, and yet in his obedience, the Lord openly blessed him. The last quality I wanted us to look at today was Peter's amazing response to the blessing. He's a fisherman. He wants to catch fish. All of his life is about catching fish. That's what he does. He failed the night before. It would have been exhausting and worrying. That was his livelihood. It's like a cab driver who goes out to drive cabs and all night there's not one fare. Goes home at the end of the night with zero for his family. Where would his income come from? That's his whole life. It's his livelihood. So when they hauled this enormous catch, it would have been for him a lot of money. Two boatloads of fish were now his. He could go sell it. It was a lot of money. His reaction was surprising. Shouldn't he have been overjoyed? He got this miraculous catch, going and telling everybody, I went out there, it's the middle of the day, you can't believe it. I let down my net, not one boat, two boatloads, and we were sinking. Look at how much I caught. You guys should have been there. But Peter showed that he was much more interested in the giver than he was in the gift. He cared more for the provider rather than what was provided. He, in fact, ignored the gift and focused on the giver. It's so common for us to receive great blessings and then we take that blessing from the Lord and we run. It's so easy for us to become preoccupied, in fact, with our blessings and ignore the blesser. Someone might get into the course they want at university. They pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, get the course they want, and forget the Lord. I'd give Sam a hard time, but it's my son. You can use the dummy, Sam. So often people will pray for something, pray for a job, get the job, forget the Lord. Now I've got the job, I'm going to work so hard, I'm going to excel in my career, now I'm earning money, I'm going to buy this car. They focus on the gift and forget the giver. Sometimes people will pray for to find the right person to get married. Pray, 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 pray. Get the partner, and then first year of marriage, you don't see him. Focus on the gift and forget the giver. It's so easy for us to do that. But Peter was the opposite. He got this phenomenal gift and he immediately turned away from it, disregarded it, ignored it in a way, almost like he detested it. It showed his sinfulness, this gift. Lord, I'm not worthy for this. Depart from me. And look at the blessings that flowed. Not the blessings of the gift, but the blessings of becoming the chief apostle and getting the keys to the kingdom of heaven and being honoured in heaven and honoured in the church. So may we learn from the qualities of St. Peter. He was diligent and honest in his work. He was obedient to the Lord even when he didn't want to and it didn't make sense, and his focus was on the giver and wasn't distracted by the gifts. And glory be to God forever. Amen.